We want to begin this morning reading from Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, and we want to read one verse of Scripture. And of course, you know, there's a lot of applications that we could make with this particular passage. And of course, Acts chapter 9 is really Saul's conversion, who we know as Paul, and how that he was converted on the Damascus Road. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that, you know, if you really stop and think about it, it was during this event, during this time, in Paul's life that, that Jesus came into his heart. And Jesus changed his life. And because of that, we're still being blessed today, as we study the different books that was written, the encouragement that he gave, the instruction that he gave, the correction that he gave, and that is still helping people today. We know that his mission was before his conversion. We know his mission was against the church. He persecuted the church. He was a part of Stephen, as far as that they laid their coats when Stephen was put to death. And but that just goes to show you that God can change the life. And he changed Paul's life, or Saul's life. He's still changing lives today. And so, but there's one question that we want to read this morning for our reading. And then we'll make just a few comments. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you. But as found in verse 6 of Acts chapter 9. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 9. And he, trembling and astonished, said, this is Paul or Saul, and he asked a question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the music this morning and those that participated in the music. And Lord, what a blessing. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us this morning, the first Sunday of the new year. And Lord, we're grateful that for each one that are here, we pray for the ones that aren't able to come due to sicknesses and just different struggles in life. We lift those requests up to you. But Lord, we do pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, someone that needs a touch from thee. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help each one, help us to look into your word and help us to abide by your word. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a tremendous question. It's a question that ultimately came from the heart. It's a question that we as believers would be important for us to say ourselves. You know, we can't go back. We all could look back to the year 2025, which was just a few days ago. And we could go back through each month and through each week, and we can see our struggles. We can see difficulties. We can see blessings. We can even see things that maybe we should have or could have done things a little different. But we can't go back. And we can reflect, but we must go forward. We must go forward. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, there was a change that took place in Saul's life for that question to be asked. There was a change that took place to the point of he knew things would be different. He knew things had to be different. Coming to know Christ on that Damascus Road, and we could take time this morning and we could read all that had happened. But yet he had a changed life. And with a changed life comes this great question. which tells me that God has a perfect plan for the life of every one of His children, even as we begin the year 2026. And what's special about this plan is it is a perfect plan. And the reason it is a perfect plan is because it's picked out by God, and it's orchestrated by God, and it's under God's leadership. And that's what Saul here was saying. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He set his own self aside because his direction totally changed from the direction that he was going. And we're going to share that with you this morning. You see, on the road to Damascus, Saul himself had a plan. We see that in verse 1. Verse 1 said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slander against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So Saul had a plan. And his plan was continuing to persecute the church. His plan was to continue, and it didn't matter to him whether if it was man or woman. He was on a mission, he had a plan, and it was his plan. He had desires that things would be a certain way. We see that in verse 2 as he went to the high priest and said, "Yeah, I have a desire that..." He asked him for letters to the synagogues, and if he found anyone, if he found any believer, if he found anyone that preached Christ, he had a desire to bind them up and to take them captive. And he had a destination. So in reality, Paul had a plan. He had a plan for his life. He had a plan. He had a desire, and he had a destination, and we see that in verses 1 and 2. But God changed it. And we're blessed this morning because God changed a person's life. And that should bring us encouragement this morning, but also not only encouragement, but that should bring us responsibility that our lives, whether we realize it or not, our lives are going to affect other people's lives. Our lives are going to be intertwined with other people's lives, just as it was for Saul. Whether he was Christian or not, whether he was a believer or not, his life was going to affect other people's lives. But God got a hold of his heart, and God changed his life. He not only changed his life, he changed his direction. And God is the one that can do it. God is the one that changes directions in people's lives. And we each one, I'm sure, could probably give a testimony, even our own testimony, of how God changed our direction. How that we were thinking about ourselves and we were thinking about what we wanted to do. And then God got a hold of our heart and he changed our lives. And that's what he did here with Saul. In the midst of Saul's plans, God showed him and God showed up and changed a life. And we're blessed for it today. In that changed life, his heart changed, his desire changed, his question changed, and his asking changed. You say, how did his question change? Well, he said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do?" But in the beginning, before this life change, in the beginning, he was asking the high priest. He was asking the high priest, and he was asking for these, he desired of him letters. So he was asking, but yet he was asking in a form of, to the high priest, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to get these letters. I want to go to these synagogues. I want to find these people that that are believers. I want to find these things. But yet, when his heart changed and when his life changed, the question changed, and now it wasn't what I want to do, but it was now, Lord, what will you have me to do? And only Jesus can do that. A heart change and the question change. This plan that was going to soon be revealed in Paul's life with that question, this plan that was going to be soon revealed was a divine plan. A divine plan. It was God's plan for Saul. A divine plan. It had a purpose. It was orchestrated just for Saul. It was planned by God, and ultimately it would help others. Verse 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." And he's speaking of Paul. "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him great things that he must suffer for my name's sake." That was a plan that was orchestrated by God, and it came from the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know, I don't know what we're going to be faced with, nor did we know as we began 2025 or any other year. We don't know what we're going to be faced with this year. We don't know what kind of challenges that we're going to have. We don't know what kind of difficulties or even what kind of joys. We don't know. But yet every single day as a believer, we have His help. We have His help. You see, this plan had purpose for Paul's life. This plan, it was planned by God, and it even is blessing us today. But it was Saul's plan. It was Paul's plan. It was his plan. It was what God had for him to do. And the realization is the fact that we can't be a Saul. We can't be, and do all that he did, but yet we can be who God has us to be. And that's why that question was personal for Saul. This question was personal. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" But yet we can ask that same question. And it can be a personal plan for us. You see, God has a plan for your life and for my life. And what we can do as the Lord blesses and as the Lord leads and as the Lord directs, what we can do can help others as well. You see, you don't realize sometimes what an influence that we have in so many ways. But here's a few thoughts that I want to give you this morning when it comes to that question. The first thing I want us to consider this morning is, first, we have to understand that Saul was being, he was willing to ask that question. You see, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had a direction. And God orchestrated, and we read to you that in verse 15, that he was going to be faced, and he was going to go before the Gentiles, and he was going to go before kings, and he was going to go before the children of Israel. And yet he was going to have to suffer for my namesake. And we know that, and I could spend some time talking about his prison experiences. Of course, we have some letters that came out of prison. We could see how that he was beaten, and we could see how that he was shipwrecked, and he went through what I would consider, he went through life. And God said that he's going to suffer great things for my name's sake. But every time that Paul ministered and every time that he walked and every moment that he lived, he was following the Lord. And that question was a personal question. But Paul had to be willing to ask it. Paul had to be willing to ask that question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Sometimes we already have our minds made up before a question like that is ever asked. Sometimes, and I've shared this with you before, but sometimes we already have plans. And there's just some things that I'm just reminded of every day. There's just some things that my dad, even though I was only with him 19 years, but there were some things that he said that just still sticks with me today, even this many years later. And there were some things that he would say, and I would say, Dad, I want to do this or I want to do that. And then he would always come back with me and he would say, well, did you pray about it first? And as a young person, I knew when he said that, that he probably wouldn't let me do whatever it was that I wanted to do. But in reality, you know, sometimes we live our lives, and sometimes if we're not careful, we know we're believers, but if we're not careful, we might leave God out because we're so focused on what we want to do. And that's why I say this question that Paul asked was a personal question, and it had to be asked by Paul. God already had a plan. God already had a purpose. God already had all those things, and the plan was orchestrated. But Paul had to be willing to ask that question. He was changed, and his life was changed on the Damascus Road. But yet when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, ever how many years ago that has been, that changed life, changed his direction. That changed life, changed his outcome. That changed life, changed the heart. Changed his heart. I know an individual right now that's a professing believer, and I believe that he's saved. And I know him, and just like you know many saved people. But sometimes in his life, that he just has an angry heart about him sometimes. And he's very angry, with the way life is. When in reality, he doesn't realize that people are watching. People are watching. People are watching every move that we make, whether we realize it or not. People are watching our heart. People are watching, and you've heard it stated before. You've heard someone say, I'm sure, because I've heard it. Well, if that's what a Christian's going to be, I don't want to be one. But in reality, what we need to be focusing on is not pointing people towards us, but pointing people towards Christ. Because it's Christ that changes a life. You see, it was Christ coming into Saul's heart on that Damascus road that he was able to say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And so he had to be willing to ask that question. And if we're not willing to ask that question as we begin 2026, we're already starting out with the wrong mindset. Because we don't know what 26 is going to be. We don't know the things we're going to face and the struggles and all those things. We don't know any of those things. But yet we're resting in the Lord because He's leading us. But we have to ask the question as Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not what will I have someone else to do, but what do you want me to do in my life? That's when it becomes personal. The first point I want to make this morning is this. God has a plan for the life of every one of His children. God has a plan for the life of every one of His children. Now, if you have more than one child, and we were raised with, there were six of us in the home, And every single one of us that was in the home of six, every one of us are different. We were raised the same way. We were taught the same things. But yet we were different. And we're all doing different things. Every person has a purpose. Every single person has a purpose. And you can't judge yourself with someone else. I struggled some. I struggled in my early years. I struggled a little bit because I wasn't like other I guess you'd say other preachers, and I struggled about, and the Lord spoke to me one early morning. The Lord spoke to me and he says, I need you to do two things. And it is be yourself and love people. That's what's going to make the difference. Because we can't be like everyone else. We can't, as much as we admire Paul and as much as we see his ministry and as we, the impact that he has on people's lives, we can't be a Paul, but we can be who God allows us to be if we have that same question. Lord, what will you have me to do? Because ultimately our goal should be and our desire should be and our outlook should be is whatever you want of me, I just want to honor you with your life, with my life. I want to honor you with my life because you changed my life. You came into my heart and saved me, and I want to be what you want me to be to impact others. God has a plan for his life, and God has a plan for everyone who's a believer. And to think that God has a plan is overwhelming. God has a plan. When I played sports in high school, believe it or not, when I had, if you had a certain amount of talent, then the coaches would start you off early and they would have a plan for you every year. They would have a plan for you every year as you developed and as you progressed and as you grew and as you grow and as you plan, they're watching you and they're helping you. Do you know God does the same thing for us? Sometimes he allows us to go through situations that we're uncomfortable with, that we don't like, and sometimes he allows us to go through them to develop us into what he has planned for us. It's to help us. It's to strengthen us. And no one likes to go through trials. No one likes to go through difficulties. No one likes to go through these things. And we're very uncomfortable. We're very uncomfortable when God allows us to go through certain things in our life. But yet in the end, he gets glory. How many times have you ever told a story to someone that's going through a difficult time and you told them what God did for you and how he helped you and it encouraged them and it helped them? You see, we never know what the trials in life, and it even makes mention here in the Bible about Paul's life, and he says, I will show him the great things that he must suffer for my namesake. In his suffering, think about the jailer in Acts chapter 16. Paul went through a lot of suffering, but yet someone came to know Christ. And when someone comes to know Christ, it's worth it all when it comes to eternity. You know, the realization of hell is real, and hell is eternity, and hell is separation from God. That's tough. Not everyone that takes their last breath, whether they be suffering in this life, and not everyone that takes their last breath is going to heaven, regardless of what some may think. The only way that they're going to go to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so when someone makes the statement, well, there's no more suffering, we don't know unless you know their testimony and know that they've accepted Christ. It's God's plan. And when God has a plan for each one of us, it's overwhelming. But then again, it's reasonable to expect it. It's reasonable to expect it. Because God is a God of divine order. And God's going to do things orderly. And God's word teaches it. It teaches that there's going to be a plan. And we see that in Ephesians. Let me read to you a verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." See, it's God's divine order. Number one, God has a plan for the life of every one of His children. Number two, God's plan has very important characteristics. Very important characteristics. And the first thing, the characteristic is this. It's a personal plan. It's a personal plan. In verse 4 of this passage here in Acts chapter 9, verse 4 says, "And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me?" You see, that's a personal plan. Why persecutest thou, and then the word me. There's no one else in the world like you. There's no one else in the world like you. You know, God loves each and every one of us. And God made a way for each and every one of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins that we might have life. That we might have life. And not only that we might have life, but that we might have it more abundantly. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, His plan for you, His plan for me, His plan for Paul was a perfect plan because it was God's plan. God's plan. And it's a plan for everyday living. It's a plan for everyday living. And I call it a practical plan. It's a practical plan. And I'm convinced of this, that God's not going to ask you to do something that He isn't going to provide a way to do it. Sometimes we might not know how. Sometimes we wonder. There's been times that I've wondered, how am I going to get through this or how am I going to get through that? But yet, in the end, I know that God helped me through it. In the end, we understand. It begins with relationship. Our relationship with Him, and I said it in 25 and I'll say it in 26, our relationship with Him is the most important thing in our life. Being close to Him. Our relationship with Him. Verse 5 says, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Before Saul could follow God's plan, there had to be a change in his life. And it begins with relationship. Before Paul or Saul, before he could get a new direction, there had to be a change in his life, and that change came because of Jesus. Now, after that change, or after that conversion, there was a new direction. A totally new direction. A new desire. A new calling. He sought the Lord. That's what he was doing. He was seeking the Lord. So it begins with a relationship, knowing Christ. It continues with obedience. Obedience. Psalm 37, verse 23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So it goes by obedience. It continues through obedience. He has a whole plan for every one of us, but reveals it bit by bit. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, as I mentioned before. Sometimes we don't like going through the fires, and we don't like going through the difficulties. But yet it's God's plan. And when we're in God's will, no matter how trying it is, no matter what difficulties we have, when we're in God's will, we're in the safest place we can be. Life, it's called seasons. Paul went through seasons in his life. There were times that he was in prison, but yet God still used him as he was in prison and penned many letters while he was in prison, helping others. We know that he was beaten. I don't know anybody that has a desire to be beaten. But yet, by doing God's will, by following God's will, there was those that didn't like it, and they're not going to like it today. The world isn't going to like it, just like he didn't in Paul's life, but it's seasons. So what do? We pray for direction. That's how it begins. Lord, what direction do you have me for 2026? We can look at life and we can see different changes, and we're all at different seasons in our life, and there's things that we know that we can't do that we used to could do, and vice versa, and all those things. We understand that, but yet God still has a plan. So we pray for direction. We spend time with Him for answers, for help. We spend time with Him in His Word. And then we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what does the Bible say? He will direct thy path. He will direct our path. You see, that's God's plan. We trust Him. Saul received direction. Do you remember when there was a shipwreck? And Paul told them, don't go this way. Don't go this way. He was telling those. But God revealed to him that the ship would be lost, but yet all would be saved. Shipwreck, the winds got battered, the turmoil, the taking on water, and all those things, it was just part of God's plan and God's direction. And not a single person in that ship was lost. God intervened. God has a trusted plan. And if it's God's plan, we can trust it. We may not totally understand it, but yet, how many things did you understand? You know, there's so many things that I could tell you that my mother and father would tell their kids not to do. Don't do this and don't do that. And sometimes when you, I don't know what age it was, but the word why came in. Why? And then finally, at the end of the road, my dad would look at us and look at all of us when we would say why. And after about the second why, he would look at me and say, because I told you so. Well, you know, sometimes when we go through God's plan, we may not understand it. But yet if it's God's plan, we can trust it, because God makes no mistakes. It begins with the question, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? And then number three, God's plan for our lives is a real plan. It's not a fantasy, but it's God's plan. It's a perfect plan for you that He has orchestrated for you. It's not a fantasy. Sometimes when we follow our plans, we deal with disappointments. We deal with defeat. We deal with frustrations. We deal with failures. We make decisions and choices that affect, that the effects of those choices and those things prove to be not a very wise decision. But yet when we follow God's plan and we follow God's leadership, then we can trust Him. We can trust Him. John chapter 21, verse 3, the Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. We won't take time to read the whole passage for the time that we have this morning, but ultimately, Peter and those that were following Peter were on their own plan. They were on their own plan, and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. But the Bible goes on to say, but when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore by the disciples and knew not. They didn't know it was Jesus standing there. And he asked them a question. Children, you have any meat? In other words, in our term today, if you're catching anything, you catching anything? And they made one simple word, no. That's what John records, no. They didn't make an excuse. They didn't say, well, it was a little windy. You know, I'm just out there for an enjoyment and all those things. They just simply said, no. But then Jesus tells them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now Jesus intervenes. And he takes a bad day and turns it into something good. And that's what he'll do in our lives if we follow him. So they cast therefore, and now they were not even able to draw it for the multitude of fish. And they knew it was the Lord. You see, he's got a plan for each one of us. They knew it was the Lord. And it wasn't until Jesus got involved that they found success. It wasn't until Jesus got involved that they found success. And Peter jumped into the sea to go to him. He planned, his plan, Christ's plan, brought blessings. And the nets were full. The nets were full. God's plan for our life is an eternal plan. This question that Paul asked isn't just about someone young. This question isn't just asked because it's the beginning of a new year. Every believer has a glorious future ahead of us. This life is just the foundation of our future. This life is just the foundation of our future. And I'll close with these two verses. 1 John 2:17, the Bible says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. But it begins with a question. And that question is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I can't ask that question for you, nor can you ask that question for me. But as we begin this year, I trust that is a question that we desire. Lord, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to do this year? In the midst of seasons, in the midst of disappointments, in the midst of joys, in the midst of life, I trust we have that same desire, because what gave Paul that desire was knowing that Jesus changed his life. Knowing that Jesus changed his life. And when you have that realization, and when that becomes renewed, then we think of that song, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I Freely Give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all." That's what Paul was doing. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for a tremendous passage. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous question, but this question was asked by your servant. Now, Lord, as individuals, we too must have to decide whether we can ask that same question. And it begins with relationship. Lord, help us not to go in this new year without being close to you. Because of so many things that we face and so many things that we're going to face and the difficulties and the challenges and life itself, Lord, we need you close. And it begins with this question. So Lord, as we have this invitation, Lord, if you've spoken to any heart at all, and they want to come and say, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" What a testimony as we begin this new year. Help us, Lord, to look to you in everything that we do. And bless this invitation now. If someone doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray that they'll come. But for those of us that know Christ, is that question one that we're willing to ask this morning? Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.